B-Pod Studios.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Tutcher and Rich Radio Program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. We are on Twitch every morning. You can visit, that's the way to watch us. You can visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub, or you can go to the Twitch app on your phone and search the Sports Hub. I'll tell you what, nothing like the excitement of a post-game locker room for the Patriots.
I'm going to miss the oh-yes from Mr.
Cool.
Mr. Slater.
How do you feel about being...
It's like, wow, how do you feel about being the San Diego Chargers?
Well, you see, he phoned that one in, because usually he has some sort of thing he says, like, of tasting the sweet nectar of victory.
Well, this is not the time to celebrate. Now you save your celebrations for after the Super Bowl. This time you just state the absolute fact of the matter.
You see, because, well, even, I mean, the nectar of victory might have been... Like a divisional round game, too?
I thought that might be regular season where, you know, he's just like,
how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
How did Slater end up being a guy who can talk?
You mean like, why is he the guy who leads the champion?
Yeah, like he's a giant nerd. All he does is special teams.
From all the people you've talked to on the team, he is one of the most respected in the clubhouse. Obviously in the clubhouse, in the locker room.
Right.
He's also known as one of the guys that basically when new players come in, he kind of takes them under their wing. He's somewhat of the spiritual leader, I think, on the team as well.
Literally under the wing when you see my collection of exotic birds.
Sure. He likes birds and strange plants. Yes. He just collects all of them.
This is a Venus flytrap. Watch your fingers.
Spores, molds, and fungus.
That's why they got made by the microscopes.
That's right. I don't know. And you know, he just, everyone loves Slater whenever he shows up.
He's everyone's best friend. He seems to fit right in. Yeah.
It is a little weird. I think Teddy Bruschi used to do it at the beginning.
Yeah, see, that makes a little bit more sense.
Bruschi would come from Bruschi.
One of the toughest guys on the team, you know, a big playmaker.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, that's the guy you want to model yourself after.
He was the special teams captain. He was a true leader on the field.
My allergies start acting up a little bit.
Seasonal allergies.
Seasonal allergies.
So I don't know. All I know is that everybody loves Slater, and I'm not sure why he is the guy who leads the chant. Probably, but aren't you glad he is?
Mm-hmm. I am indeed. It's I like it. It's probably one of the lamer ones you're going to get in a locker room of any sport. There was Adam Gase. The new coach of the Jets.
Who's been taken hostage by his new team, apparently.
I'll just read you. So Adam Gase is the new coach of the Jets, and yesterday he was really weird.
Oh, I mean,
and there was
really.
Here's some New York Post headlines. The Adam Gase honeymoon is over before it could get started. And so it's just saying that at the end he says... So that Gase is missing. At least there's no debate about how long the honeymoon will last. Grooms who have brought their wives to Denny's for dinner after visiting the Justice of the Peace at lunchtime have had longer honeymoons than that. So if you didn't see it, Adam Gase was it looked like an absolute maniac.
He sat down, and his eyes just started rolling to the back of his head. I saw somebody compare him to who's the new Philadelphia Flyers mascot?
Oh, Gritty.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Just how bugged out his eyes are. And when I'm telling you, they were just looking up at the sky. They were going all around. I mean, the man had eyes the size of saucers. I'm not exaggerating. It was uncomfortable to watch.
It was really weird. And then Wallace Matthews says, bug-eyed Adam Gase stars in a sad jet spiel we've heard before. So, I don't know what's wrong with him. And in a frantic kind of frantic method to try to justify the way that he looked last night or yesterday afternoon, some people from New York papers found him in Miami doing a press conference where his eyes were bugging out, but he had a hat on.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the strategy is to wear a hat like over his eyes.
So he can't see?
No. Like right above his eyebrows.
So no one can see him.
Well, because it like hides it a little bit. Yeah. I think he's very uncomfortable without a hat on. But so the idea is when he becomes uncomfortable, I don't know, it's real weird and doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. But when he gets... he hears something he doesn't want to hear, or he gets nervous, he bugs his eyes on and starts rolling his head around.
This bodes well.
I don't think. He looks like he's possessed. I don't think
if you're on his team and you're sitting there watching that, you got to be like, oh, dude.
I mean, it was the day a million internet memes were born. Just watching. Okay, so this is Mike Francesi yesterday. I would see if I can pull this up here. Mike Francesi yesterday saw the press conference. It was, listen to this. You got it? Is it pulled up, Dan? Okay.
Chris Johnson, McCagnon, and the new head coach, they have no personalities. I mean, my God. Number two, I didn't notice this my whole life, and I don't know what it is, and I don't want to be offensive here. I don't know if you notice it today, but what was going on with Gase's eyes? I never noticed that before.
Well, I never met him before until today. I'll tell you the truth.
His eyes, there's something with his eyes. I don't know exactly what it is. Did you see how his eyes, something with his eyes?
Well, maybe it was the lighting.
I don't know what it was, but I never noticed that on the sideline before.
It could have been the lighting in the room. Who knows? There were a lot of cameras. So
I don't know what was going on with his eyes there, but I don't know what that was. I don't know what that is, to be honest with you.
Neither do I, but I said maybe it was his intensity because the conversation...
I'm not sure. I had never seen that before. I never noticed it before. Now, usually he has a hat on, but I never noticed that before. But it was very odd. It was the whole... That was the most boring press conference I ever saw.
How much for the app?
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable watching that.
I never noticed that about him before. I mean, I don't know if that's something new. I didn't know. I never saw that before.
Between him and Chris Johnson, just sitting there with his arms folded, very
well. I tell you, those three guys. I mean, let me say this: those three guys couldn't recruit you out of a burning building.
That's a good line. That's actually a pretty good line. Right there.
Okay. Can you imagine that guy showing up?
So Francesa asks a question. The guy starts to answer it, and then he just repeats, I don't know. I never saw anything about those eyes.
Yeah. By the way, the answer that he had a hat on before, so you couldn't see his eyes rolling around how crazy, is hysterical.
No, I just said it. I said it earlier.
I know. That is
the
hysterical.
The theory is, and apparently it works, the theory is, that if he has the hat on and it like shades his eyes, that you can't see his eyes bugging out.
Or
like
maybe
that.
It just like it keeps his eyes from going nutty.
No, because like... I told you I saw a video of him in a Miami press conference.
Okay.
And he had his hat on and he didn't like something that someone was saying.
Yeah.
So his eyes started bugging out. Oh, he couldn't see. You had to like really look to see him.
It is really uncomfortable. And it went on for like a gratuitous amount of time. Like you would think at first, maybe if there was, given the benefit of the doubt, a giant bright light from someone in the press, it would take a second and you get blinded and then you'd be done. But I mean, it kept going back and rolling and back and forth.
Yeah, he didn't, it didn't look promising.
He looked hopped up.
Yes, he looked like he was on some kind of amphetamine.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
Or he was, some kind of psychedelic or amphetamine. Yes, he did look like that. Like he had taken DMT before he walked up to the dais.
But you're right. I mean, at least he's not in New York or anything where, you know, latch on to that.
And, everyone said he could handle New York. Everyone said that he would, I don't know. But I'm fascinated by two things. That and that Francesa asked questions. And then just repeats himself. He waits for the guy to say two words, and then he just repeats himself.
Yeah, he's not listening to that guy. He's not listening.
Like, why have him on? So have you ever noticed that before? I don't know. There was a lot of lights. Yeah, his eyes were weird. You know, that was such a boring press conference. Yeah, you know, it was kind of. Yeah, you know, his eyes were weird.
Somebody put a picture of him next to Steve Buscemi from Mr. Deeds. No. I remember, what was his name? Like Crazy Eyes McGee.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes. Yeah.
Right.
There's no. I mean, he. It's just the Jets. It's just the Jets.
I watched that yesterday, and I'm like, poor guy, never had a chance.
Nope.
No, I mean, how do you as a player like respect that guy now?
So it shakes your confidence. You were very confident about this hire. Does that shake your confidence a little bit? The whole Ives thing.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, hang on. This is the best. Okay, so apparently the New York Post has on their front cover of the sports page him with his crazy eyes, and it says Vision Quest. I mean, that is the best. It says New York Jets coach Gase sets sights on turning gang into big winners.
Yeah.
Vision Quest.
Yep.
And his eyes are just all bugging out of his head. That was just so tough to watch.
Yeah.
And it didn't stop. It went on and on. Like, anytime there was any kind of... And when he would answer a question...
He didn't say anything.
What's that?
He didn't really say anything.
Well, I mean, they asked him a couple questions about, you know, him not having a winning record, and what did you learn from your time in Miami, and he just would... He wouldn't shut his eye. The guy, I don't think, blinked the entire time.
Nah. I mean, he was nervous, which is unfortunate. Because
and not good in any way, shape, or form.
He's going to have to do that a lot. So
Vision Quest. That is good.
Well, yeah. They immediately jumped all over him. The honeymoon's over. I mean, it's not good. It's not good for anybody. All right, Rich, a disappointing evening last night.
Oh, more than disappointing. I mean, disappointing for the Bruins. A disaster for the Celtics. There's something bad going on there. And this is, I think, bigger than just losing a few games. There's some really worrisome stuff going on, I think, in that locker room. And it's got to be addressed soon, or bad things could happen at the end of the season.
Reading the New York papers thoroughly yesterday to see how many eye chokes they'd make, there's a lot of confidence starting to brew that Kyrie Irving's going to go to New York.
There's not. I mean, it's tough to argue with that. I mean, things are starting to build up so poorly with this team and backfire on Kyrie Irving that I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. If things continue this way, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, well, it's just wishful thinking, but that's a theory that they've come up with. Because, again, I spent a couple hours probably rechecking the New York papers to see how many eye jokes that they would make. We'll be back with everything that's not eyes.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
On 8.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what went on last evening?
The Celtics are in a bad place right now.
Morris puts it to the floor, beats Harris, gets to the paint, handoff Robert Williams. Oh, they're going to say a block by Jared Allen on the dunk attempt by Williams. Now Russell catches and shoots, quick three, got it again.
Ooh, gets it right back. Man. That man hot as fish grease.
Seventh three of the night for D'Angelo Russell. 76-59.
Well, the previous two games, the Celtics fell to winnable opponents, pushed each other during timeouts, and publicly bickered at each other in front of the cameras. And then finally yesterday, the Seas give us their worst effort of the year. 109-102, the Celtics fall to the Brooklyn Nets, but don't let that score fool you. A meaningless fourth quarter rally only cosmetically covered up the calamity of a game that the Celtics delivered last night. There may have been no Kyrie or Marcus Smart, but the evening's comedy all started within seconds of the opening tip.
Terry Rozier begins the game with a turnover, lobbing it on the inside, easily picked off by D'Angelo Russell.
Not the kind of start you want to have.
Terry Rozier, 10th in the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio. Joe Harris, push pass into the corner. Russell lines one up. It's a three, and it's good.
Terry Rozier late getting there, and immediately Brad Stevens calls the timeout.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 29 seconds in. An inauspicious beginning for Terry Rozier.
That's right. The Celtics win the opening tip but accidentally throw the ball away. Immediately, the Nets hit an open three, and Brad Stevens calls a timeout 29 seconds into the game. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
An effort to get his team's attention after what happened in Orlando few minutes. And you know what? Didn't work.
Nope, it did not work. On top of that, that third quarter might go down in the books as one of the worst you may ever witness as a basketball
fan.
Well,
no.
What's that?
No. All of us who watched San Antonio score 46 on the Celtics remember a worse quarter.
Yeah, but the Celtics scored more points than they did during the third quarter yesterday.
I know.
I mean, it was awful.
Harris, picks up his dribble, throws it to the far corner. Jared Allen shovels to D'Angelo. Russell Gordon Hayward on him. Russell wants to take him anyway. Russell left-hand dribble. Step back at the elbow. Very tough shot, and that's good. I mean, what else are you going to do if you're Gordon Hayward? Russell has 31. 22-point Brooklyn lead.
How about score more points, Gordon? 3 points last night. After nearly tying things up 61-59, Boston allows the Nets to score a whopping 44 points in the third, launching the score to a ridiculous 90-66 going into the fourth. And what was fantastic was that during that ridiculous run, Brad Stevens refused to call a timeout for the majority of it, almost just to tell his players, you figure it out. I've done everything I can do.
Well, I mean,
you work it out.
He called a bunch of timeouts, and obviously they weren't listening.
Yep.
So you leave them out there.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to get embarrassed unless you figure this out. And you know what? They didn't figure it out. They still got embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put the end of his bench in the fourth quarter. I mean, legit, the final three players on the end of his bench were out there with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for most of the fourth quarter. And, yeah, they made a nice run. But when you have Brad Wanamaker jacking threes for 5 or 6 minutes – it's laughable.
Yep.
So the question is now, I mean, I'm not saying they can't solve this. It is possible for them to solve this. There's still 38 games left in the regular season or something like that. But all the signs are bad.
Well,
I mean, Kyrie's pointing fingers and they're not responding. And people are saying all the right things over and over and over again. But you win 4 straight at home and you lose 3 straight on the road. And Rich is right. I mean, last night they were down 27 early in the fourth quarter. I mean, they lost by 9, but they could have lost by 40.
You also know things are bad when the Nets crowd starts trolling you. See if you can hear what they are chanting in the background during this clip.
X. Daniel Theis, second-year pro from Germany. And this Nets lead.
That is Kyrie's leaving. They are yelling in Brooklyn.
That is the New York Post from a couple days ago. Kyrie Irving's frustration could be the Knicks' window opening.
I mean,
could
listen.
Could be a Knicks window opening.
They keep playing like this. Who knows what's going to happen?
Unless he's calling everyone out. And
well, okay. So I've thought up until that, was it Orlando game, that Kyrie Irving, everything he's been doing is the right thing. He's calling out these young guys for slacking, and I have no problem with what Marcus Morris did to Jaylen Brown the other day. Jaylen Brown didn't come back, didn't get on defense, so Marcus Morris, at a timeout, like in front of their bench, gets in his face, gets a little bit of aggressive, there's a little bit of a push. I didn't mind that, because that's a veteran player getting pissed off because a guy didn't hustle. All you needed to do there was try harder, and I have no problem with doing that. However, Kyrie Irving, at the end of that game the other night, throwing his hands up in the air and like acting like a baby when Gordon Hayward missed that shot, I thought was out of line.
Or when he inbounded to, who did he inbound to? He got pissed at Hayward for inbounding to Rozier, and Rozier turned the ball over, and he threw a little fit.
And yeah, it's little things, too. I mean, Terry Rozier goes in for a dunk in the third quarter, right after halftime. And he was impressive. He split two people, went in, dunked the basketball, and then chest-bumped Jason Tatum while the play is still going on.
Yep, I saw
and
that.
Then, and then the Nets go down and get a dunk at the other end. And I think it was from that point on, the Nets ran off a 24-4 run, and the game was over. And although Brad Stevens didn't take Rozier out right after that, I went back and checked. He played another 4 or 5 minutes, but then was done for the evening. And Brad Wanamaker played the last 14 minutes of the game.
Yeah, you need a guy like Kyrie Irving saying all the things that he's saying, like, in the locker room. And everything I've heard, matter of fact, you need a guy like that. But what he did on the court, I thought was uncalled for. And he even came out and said that he'll never do that again.
But I mean, he called team meetings, and it worked for a little bit, but ultimately didn't. You pointed fingers. That didn't work the next two games. I don't know. They're spinning out of control here. They have an immense amount of talent on this team. That's unquestioned. But they have to get a pecking order in line here. And Kyrie's, you know, visibly trying to make sure that he's the guy at the top of the pyramid. But he needs help.
Who's he to yell at Hayward, though? Like, when Hayward... So I guess Hayward inbounded the ball to Tatum. And Tatum turned it over and immediately... This isn't last night. And immediately Kyrie started freaking out on
him. Yeah. I mean, he did that a few times in that Orlando game. And it's like, I mean, you're going to freak out on Hayward? Now, listen, Hayward last night, there's almost no excuse for Hayward to only have 3 points when Kyrie Irving is out. And Marcus Smart was. I mean, he's going to get a lot. He's going to get a ton of playing time. There's going to be. I mean, you saw it. There was nobody in that was all the end of the bench, as you mentioned. And for him only to get 3 points, even now with him, you know, returning, he should be able to do more than that.
I agree. I think the time has passed where, you know, the confidence level should be there. I mean, he's 16 months out from the injury now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there should be an uptick, and we've seen it occasionally, but like this Celtic team all year, it comes in spurts and then disappears. And I look at this team and I think, okay, where do we go from here? I mean, they got Toronto coming to the building tomorrow night.
And they'll probably do really well. That's the thing about the Celtics team is it just seems like they play when they want to play.
This is different.
They play hard when they want to play. They
blew
out the Pacers the other day because they all hustled and everyone played. And it's a matter of effort. That's all it is.
And it's home and away. It's kind of like the Patriots. It's home and away.
Well, that has a lot to do with effort.
Celtics are dominant at home, and they're 3 games under 500 on the road.
All right, Paul, go ahead, sir.
John, you and I grew up here. We grew up through the 80s, the 90s. Patino, thank you again, Fred, for trashing that idiot. I've never in my life hated a Celtics team, and I'm really beginning to hate them. I was actually flipping the bird at the TV last night.
They're the antithesis of everything this team was last year, where you had...
They've ever been in the franchise history.
Well, I mean, you have these young guys, and I think the young guys have this feeling of entitlement because of what they were able to do last year. And they got big heads, and Kyrie Irving comes in, and Kyrie Irving can take over a game anytime he wants to. And I don't think he has quite figured out how to get through to these guys and how to be a good leader. I think he's learning on the job, which is going to be a tough task.
But the thing is, they've seen what works. They've seen what works.
Yes, hustle.
Hustle. No. I'm not even talking. I'm talking about on the offensive end of the floor. They've seen what happens. You share the basketball, you know, 35-plus assists, 4 or 5 games in a row, and then when the game gets close, I think everyone understands you defer to Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
And that's what worked for them when they were winning. And last night, watching those two teams play, I mean, Brooklyn shared the basketball. They got a ton of easy shots around the rim. They got to every 50-50 ball. And on the other end of the floor, the Celtics would make one pass and go. It's completely the opposite of what we saw at TD Garden last week.
Well, here's
consistency is wildly out the window for this team.
Here's one guy that has every right to be a little pissed off, Marcus Morris, after the game.
You know, I would be lying if I said, you know, we know our identity, because the identity of a good team don't do that. You know what I mean? We don't take steps back. Being on the road or being at home, you know, it's tough to say, man. We're still searching, I guess.
So the road trip goes 0-3. The Celtics trailed by more than 26 points only twice in the previous 60 games. It happened twice on this trip. And it doesn't get any easier because tomorrow night, Celtics face one of the best teams in the league, the Toronto Raptors, at 8 o'clock at the Garden. And you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
8 o'clock? How audacious of them.
ESPN game.
No. Okay, we will talk about the Bruins. Well, it was not as bad as the Celtics.
Still a good game.
A little frustrating.
Sure. The way it ended, but entertaining.
Not many places to turn yesterday if you were flipping around and checking out the local squads.
Hey, at least you get a point. We'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling. Happening this Memorial Day weekend, more than 40 bands and comedians over 3 stages, including Greta Van Fleet, Travis Scott, and 21 Pilots. 3-day passes on sale now at bostoncalling.com.
Travis Scott, who will be fresh off of his appearance with the 5 during the Super Bowl halftime show.
A lot of people giving Big Boy and Travis Scott some problems.
Why is that? Oh, because they're calling them sellouts?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Because of the kneeling situation.
Well, Travis Scott, I know, said that he would only do it if the NFL donated some sum of money to, like, charitable causes. And I think it's like some, I don't know if it's the Boys and Girls Club or something like that, but I think there's like $500,000 in Travis Scott's name that he agreed to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, it seems like a way to save face.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I don't care. David, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up how nobody's bashing Brad Stevens about any of this. And I feel like he's just the type of guy that, like, if two guys get into a fight, instead of breaking it up, he's the type that would just stand back and kind of go, oh, I got nothing to do with this. This doesn't involve me. You know what I mean? That's all. Thanks, guys.
I think if this continues, he will. But he's bought himself a little bit of goodwill up to this point, just for what he's been able to do over the last several years. But, yeah, I mean, if you have guys fighting at timeouts and that continues and other players being demonstrative towards veterans on the court, like, you know, after games or after, you know, as you said, Fred, with the Gordon Hayward situation, yeah, I mean, Brad Stevens, you're going to have to start placing some of the blame on him. Right now, I think that he's just earned that goodwill, but that's going to go away pretty quick.
People are going to wait and see how this team winds up. I think he's got the grace period till the end of the season. And if this team winds up with 48 wins and a first-round knockout, then it's all on him. But
I would think even if you get a second-round knockout, I would think that if you don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, certainly that they're – I mean, this team was supposed to easily win the East.
Yep. Yeah. The only difference is that we didn't know how good Kawhi Leonard was going to be with the Raptors. And I think people who said they were going to easily win the East – we're assuming that Kawhi was not going to be the Kawhi that he was in San Antonio. Unfortunately, he is.
I think Eastern Conference Finals are bust, all things considered.
Yeah, without a doubt. You got to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep. Well, this team
unless because of the seeding, you meet up with the Raptors earlier on, which they're right now playing themselves into.
Yep. Yeah, they're right now not going to have home court in any round.
But, well, I mean, they're closer to being out of it than they are to first.
I mean, you have the team that you put together that was supposed to be the championship team. I mean, you had a run without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. You had that run in the playoffs. You made the Eastern Conference Finals without him.
This is a tough call for Danny Ainge right now. He was just quoted a couple of days ago as saying that he doesn't want to make a trade. He likes the team he has, but, you know, trade deadline's creeping up on you. And this team, as constituted, there seems to be a little bit of infighting. There seems to be a lack of consistency. There seems to be a real need for some kind of shakeup to wake everybody up and make them understand that there's a lot of urgency here.
And here's the thing that is the only thing you can hang your hat on is that they continue to either beat or barely lose to great teams. Like when they play very good teams, they play well. And it's just a matter of hustle and it's a matter of will. But it's
also a matter
teams.
If they're home or on the road. That's a big thing.
They're
15-5 at home. They're 10-13 on the road. That's
sure.
A big swing.
That's part of it. You know, could you take a look at the teams that they've beaten on the road that mm-hmm. are like
sure
playoff teams
yep.
right now? Because it seems like whenever they have a hard task ahead of them, like when it's a tough team or it's like a nationally televised game, they play their ass off and they look great. And as I said, it's like the other day when they played the Pacers. I mean, they looked like as they could just rip through the NBA if they wanted to. But it's when, you know, the spotlight's off and they're playing a team like Orlando. They take their foot off their gas and the hustle isn't there and other teams take advantage.
Mike, go ahead.
Well, you know, Ed, I think that we got to give a lot of credit to what the Warriors have been able to do for all these years in managing these superstars and these big personalities and in what the coaching has done there to keep them playing as a unit, even when they go off in their little Twitter beefs with each other. Because, you know, we have a core group of young players that did really well when they're playing as a team last year, and this year they think they're as good as the Warriors, and maybe they have a lot of the similar talent, but they don't have the maturity of playing together as a team because they think they can do it on their own. They're just going to one pass and take it to the hoop instead of let's see if we can, you know, let's spread the ball around and find the good shot.
Yeah, I think that there's guys like Jaylen Brown who deep down feel a little bit bitter that here come these guys like Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward who weren't there when they made that run last year. And they're like, you know, we didn't even need you to get to almost the finals. But what he's got to understand is those players are still better than you and you need to listen to them. And one of them has won a ring. So I don't understand why at this point there hasn't been some sort of come to Jesus, like, if we're going to win, and I know it's going to come to the point where they're going to continue to drop in the standings, and you're going to have to continue to play. But I think there's a little bit of bitterness with these young guys.
All right, here are the teams that the Celtics have won on the road, beaten on the road. The Knicks, Oklahoma City, Detroit,
Phoenix. Let's see here. Phoenix, Atlanta, New Orleans, Minnesota, Chicago, Washington, remember, without John Wall. Let's see here. Memphis. That's it.
There's like three good teams in there.
There's really one good team in there.
Oklahoma City.
That's it. Yeah. And they beat Oklahoma City right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they've had all their meetings and they've done all that crap, but it's not working.
Yeah, that's the problem. And who was it who said during, this was a baseball thing, but, you know, okay, we have a team meeting, but what if that doesn't work? You can only do it once. And they've had their team meeting. They've had their come to Jesus meeting and they won eight straight, but ultimately it hasn't worked. And the players, there's still problems. So now what do you do?
Well, it's Danny's job to sniff out what's the problem.
That's what I'm saying.
Possibly trade it.
That's what I'm saying. We're getting to the point now where Danny may have to go back on his word. He's expressed a lot of confidence in the roster he's built. And how many trades did he have to make to get this roster?
Right.
He made all those trades to make this run with this team. The only trade he could really make to make it better, and that's debatable, is you giving up too much to get a guy, is Anthony Davis. And I don't know if New Orleans is willing to do that this year. So what do you do?
They can't do it this year. I mean,
no, I know that. So, I mean, the roster you have, I don't know what you could bring in to make it necessarily better talent-wise.
Maybe it's addition by subtraction.
Maybe. But who are you subtracting?
Jaylen Brown. I think that he's part of the problem.
That's more cosmetic.
I don't know. I think you take away numbers on the, because there's obviously a divide.
Yeah.
And I think you take away numbers on one side of it, and maybe that helps things out. It also shows that, hey, you know, you could be playing for Phoenix, Phoenix is a bad example because I think they're a pretty good up-and-coming team. But you could be playing in basketball Siberia. You know, we could send you to Orlando.
I mean, but if you get, what are you going to get in return for Jaylen Brown? More pegs? You're not going to get anything that's going to help you this year. And if you do, then it's the same quandary.
Yeah, this is the run right here. This is it. I mean, this is why you built this roster.
Yeah.
Danny has about a month to figure this out.
Well, we'll talk to him on Thursday. We'll give him the what for.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little bit about the Bruins coming up.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
985 is the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling. Happening this Memorial Day weekend, more than 40 bands and comedians over three stages, including Greta Van Fleet, Travis Scott, and 21 Pilots. Three-day passes on sale now at bostoncalling.com.
Well, Handsome Ralph, unfortunately, walks away a winner.
To the right circle, Domi cuts to the high slot, shoots Rask in and out of his glove. They score! Whacked out of midair by Jeff Petrie. He swung that left-handed and drilled it in. And the Canadians, 15 seconds into overtime, win it 3-2. Over the Boston Bruins.
All right, I read this today, but they might have talked about it on the broadcast last night, and I missed it. Jeff Petrie, son of what professional athlete?
No, I mean, I'm up on my Detroit Tigers from the 80s, Dan Petrie.
1984, Danny Petrie with the stash.
Third starter, right?
Dan Petrie, so yeah, it was Morris. Oh, God. Morris,
not Rosma.
No, Pete Rosma was just like, what do you want out of me?
I don't know who the second starter was on that 84 team.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to look it up. Go ahead.
Damn it.
Keep going, Rich. I'll get it.
You pulled up the stats?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, well, the return.
Petrie might have been the second starter
on
that team.
Okay, I'm looking. Go ahead. Keep going.
With Claude back at the TD Garden, it made for a good game. One that the Bruins walk away with a point in their 3-2 overtime loss to Canadians. One of the reasons they didn't leave empty-handed was, as one of the guys from our recap says, the wizardry of David Krejci.
Right corner, Krejci corrals. Up top, Marchand, near point, Krejci. Shoots, he scores! David Krejci with a puck that had eyes, and it sneaks inside the far post. A power play goal! Bruins 2, Canadians 2.
John, you got that face.
Like I
you
do.
You got yourself some stat answers.
I got the answer. Petrie was the second starter. Yes. Milt Wilcox was the third starter.
Okay.
Juan Berenguer, Willie Hernandez to close.
Jeez, Juan Berenguer.
Yep.
The general.
Juan Berenguer.
We had Juan Berenguer. They had a nice fat staff.
Oh, yeah.
not a lot of Slim Fast on this staff.
Like 240?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
Berenguer?
Yeah.
And then you had Guillermo Hernandez, a.k.a. Yeah. Willie Hernandez.
No, Berenguer, it says here, was only 185.
That, uh-huh. Well, maybe at that time.
Well, 5'11". Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he wasn't 185.
That was a big dude.
What do they have? Guillermo? You know, remember when Willie changed his name to Guillermo?
Yes, I do. Willie Hernandez, 6'3", 180, according to Baseball Reference. According to Baseball Reference, 6'3", 180.
I'm going to say there's no way he was 6'3", and there's no way he was 180.
Then again, they have Mo Vaughn at like 235. So,
yeah.
maybe when he came up as a rookie.
Not official stats.
Well, Krejci ties it up, but just seconds into overtime. It was over. Also, yesterday was a hit to the no one wants fighting in hockey crowd because the fight between Kevin Miller and Nick Delorier was one of the best of the year.
Classic.
It was great. I mean, I guess Kevin Miller was technically the winner, but man, that was a heavyweight bout.
Miller hit a lot of shoulder pad.
Yeah.
But just the two of them throwing right hands, that's the way it used to be, man. That was great.
Yeah, but I was watching it and Miller got a lot of the shoulder. I'm surprised the hand's okay today.
It just looked good. It looked really good.
No, it was a great fight. But, yeah. I mean, I had to watch it in slow motion. But when you watch it in slow motion,
right.
A lot of shoulder. I thought he was nailing him in the face, but he wasn't.
And by the way, good for Claude Julien. I mean, watching the Canadians play in the third period last night was exactly why fans wanted Claude fired. Because the Canadians went into a shell and just gave Boston any opportunity they wanted to. We're not going to even try on the offensive end of the ice. It took them 15 minutes before they had a scoring chance in the third period. And that's Claude. Let's just go into a protective shell. We'll protect the one-goal lead, and we'll hope our goaltender stands on his head to win the game, which, by the way, Carey Price did last night.
Yeah.
Bruins had a ton of chances. Price was electric, and that was enough for them to win the game.
Yeah, Montreal only 22 chances last night. But you have to give, you like the 6-on-4 goal.
Yep.
And then you, what are you going to do?
And by the way, DeBrusque throwing down the gloves as well yesterday. DeBrusque
getting called out by Cassidy. DeBrusque going to be on the show today. Cassidy said that he wasn't playing up to the standard that we expect from him.
Did he say that post game?
He did indeed.
Need to find that clip. Well, here is Bruce Cassidy talking about the positives, I guess, of yesterday's game.
I liked our emotion. I liked our legs tonight. Our execution was a little bit off early on. Some of the plays we tend to make were off the end of the tape, or we misfired on a couple, especially the power play early. You know, we misfired on a couple one-timers, and we're just off a little in terms of that part of our game.
Mm-hmm. And Duke Rask, for one, he seems to be happy that at least they left with a point.
Yeah, you know, you got to take the positives. It's great to get the point. You know, we worked hard for that goal there. I finally got rewarded. Would have been nice to get two, but, you know, it was nice to get that.
Yep, so there you go. They leave with a point, and the Bruins head to Philly to take on the Flyers tomorrow night, and they'll get to see their mascot, Adam Gase, with the bugging out goofy eyes. By the way, somebody made a good point. How long until the New York media turns his name into Adam Gase, G-A-Z-E?
That's too easy. I mean, really, isn't it, though? That's way too easy.
They're too busy saying that he's going to fail. because
I thought they were in love with him. I thought everyone in the New York media.
They all said how dumb the fans were and that they didn't do it for, you know, whatever his brother's name said it yesterday. Said that, you know, we're not trying to win Twitter, we're trying to win games, and then he came out and looked like that, and everyone's freaking out, myself included.
Yeah, that was unsettling, I guess would be the best word.
By the way, people were getting on Trump yesterday for serving fast food.
Don't go into it yet, because I have tons of audio.
Oh, okay.
And it's great.
All right, all I gotta say is that if that would rule. If you went to someone's house and they just had a bunch of fast food out.
I don't know.
No.
Fast if you're food, a college kid and you see dozens of Big Macs and dozens of what else? What other fast food restaurants did he bring in?
I had a friend who had people over for football and he bought like $50 worth of Taco Bell.
Yeah, and it was delivered and you ate it hot.
Yes.
How many levels of security did that Whopper have to go through?
Oh, all right.
It's sitting on a cold plate before when they show up. No, I mean, that stuff had been there for like an hour.
I don't know. It's still good.
No, the best part is Trump's like, I paid for this. Okay, how much did you really fork over? I mean, $1,000? How much did you fork over for all that food?
All I know is when I went to that party, and, you know, usually people, they put out stuff like cheese and crackers and stuff like that. And then, you know, like Briere and things of that nature.
No, no.
When I went there and he just had a pile of Taco Bell on the table.
A bunch of college kids in a room, you give them fast food.
I was in my 40s. And then he had a bunch of Taco Bell piled on a table. And I was like, this is the greatest day ever.
Yeah, you don't serve beef Wellington. You serve them. That was fine.
Oh, beef Wellington is nasty. Ick.
Is that the one that you... No, I'm thinking of Chateaubriand, the one that you take like three people to eat.
What is beef Wellington? Beef Wellington is like breaded. Breaded beef and beef and mushroom inside a breaded like little thing.
Yeah, they make it like one restaurant now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
we were at someone's... I was at someone's house who had beef Wellington.
All I know is Heathcliff Huxtable always wanted beef Wellington for his birthday.
I thought he wanted bacon burger dog. Wasn't that his big thing?
No, he would dance around, and when Claire was out of town, and he would have like a sub.
Yeah, that was huge. That's
he'd
right.
He'd have a sub in the refrigerator, and he'd be like, yeah, with the sub in the thing.
And then he would have nightmares.
Or then he would go in the living room, and he would take a bite, and Claire would come in, and he'd be like, oh.
That's right.
And then she would give him a rice cake. That was the big thing in the 80s. If you were doing like a big...
Sorry, Cliff, you're on a diet. It's a rice cake.
If you were on a diet, you automatically had to eat plain rice cakes.
That's right.
There's no other way to lose weight. You had to eat plain rice cakes.
Don't worry about running. Don't worry about any of that.
You could just eat a lot of stuff and like still lose weight. Yeah. You don't have to eat a stupid rice cake.
Yep.
I bet you they're not even that good for you, but they're carbs and everything else that you're not supposed to eat nowadays. But oh, that sub, he loved them. Dancing around. And then you'd be like, stupid, like, why don't you just eat this up now? Somebody's dancing around.
Yeah.
It's like when you're like, someone's gonna get murdered in a movie, and they like, you know, screw around and they don't like really leave, and you're like, go, go, go. Cliff, I got my hoagie. No commercials here, just the headlines. We had a young lady who won our Worse Than Brady contest. It was very controversial. She's been very active on social media, defending herself.
Oh, yeah.
We texted her yesterday. She has said that she had awoken at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Oh.
It was a Monday.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk to her for however long.
She went to the game, so we need an update. Or I don't know if she went to the game.
Did she make it all the way through? Yeah. Questions need to be answered.
Fat Tony last year sold his ticket, so I don't know
that's a good point.
What happened with her.
You can do whatever you want with him, but we'll find out. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.